When we look around and see all the dysfunction and chaos, it's overwhelming. But when we look closer to home and see the dysfunction and the chaos in our own lives, it sometimes can paralyze us and make us feel like there's no hope. I want you to know that God is shouting from the rooftops, "There's hope. I sent you hope." Where's God's hope? How do you get it? That's what we're going to talk about in the next 20 minutes. Stay with me.
Welcome to this special Good Friday edition of Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. Living on the Edge features the Bible teaching of Chip Ingram on this International Discipleship Program. I'm Dave Drewy, and Chip's picking it up where he left off in our previous program. If you missed it, it's on the Chip Ingram app. Here's the truth. When Christians talk about Jesus being raised from the dead, there's a lot of pushback. Why wouldn't there be? It sounds crazy. But God's ways are not our ways. What we think isn't what He thinks. And so that's what Chip's talking about. God's counterintuitive path to life, hope, and peace. So let's join him now for part two of his message, "You've Gotta Die."
You know what Easter is? God looking down from heaven, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, of seeing all people of all time simultaneously in all of our needs and seeing the chaos and the destruction both personally and globally. And the Son saying, "I'll go. Let's do an intervention. Let's help them see that they are messed up and they are selfish and they need to die and receive life so they can be resurrected." And so Jesus came and He did the intervention to rescue us. His life mission, He said, was, "I came to seek and to save those which were lost." And so the first thing He offered was life, because we're on death patterns. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever," underlined the word, "believe in Him, should not perish but have everlasting life." And what we're going to learn is He went to the cross and He died on the cross for you. He intervened and said, "What you can't do for yourself, I'm going to do." And He literally paid. That's what the word redemption means. He paid for your sin and paid for mine. And then He rose from the grave and says, "Look, free gift." But He says, "Not just life, I'm going to give you hope." You need hope that there's someone who's personal and real and who's the God of the universe who made you, who is preparing a place and wants you with Him. Wants you with Him because He loves you. That's the message of Easter. And the question you ought to be asking is, if that's the message of Easter, what gives this Jesus the right to make that outlandish offer? Don't other religions have offers about peace and life and hope? I mean, what makes you think this one's real? Right? And that was my question. Jesus makes this offer based on four things. First, His life. Sinless, revealing God's character. If we could have found, if His enemies could have found one sin, the message of Jesus and all of His claims go out the window. But instead, Jesus said, "Look, here's the deal. I've come to do an intervention, and you have death, life. You want to see what life looks like? See the poor? I feed them. See the hungry? I feed them. See the people that have lost close? I raise them from the dead. If you have seen me, you've seen the Father. You want to know what God is like? You see this prostitute and the messed up life she's had and the four partners? Go and sin no more. You see this lady whose heart's broken and this guy that's just lost his daughter? I raise her from the dead. You see people don't have purpose and these religious people and all their pious stuff? I shoot it straight with them and say, quit pretending. Quit posturing. Quit being a hypocrite." His life. I mean, it marks AD, BC, all of life is around this single solitary life that's changed the world. And second, His death. Colossians chapter 2 makes it clear that when He died, He didn't just physically die, because He was fully God and fully man. Being man, He could die. Being God, it could be a perfect sacrifice. And He covered sin. He broke the penalty of sin. He conquered death and destroyed the works of the evil one. His life, His death, and finally He proved it all with His resurrection. And read the book of Acts, chapters 1 and 2. This isn't some weird religious philosopher that had dreams and told people there's a new way to God. This was someone who was outrageous. He said, "I'm the Savior of the world. I'm truth incarnate. There's no other way but me. He's either right, wrong, or a lunatic. But you can't even admire Jesus as a teacher. What kind of teacher would lie to you? The resurrection proves that what he said was true. God visited the planet. You talk about an intervention. He visited the planet and suffered and lived a perfect life for you. For you personally, for me. 500 eyewitnesses for over 40 days that could touch his hands. They had meals with him. There's a reason we're sitting in this room. It's not because we're on the salad bar of the philosophical religious views of our day. We're sitting in this room because a real God visited a real planet and died on a real cross and came back to life and walked around for 40 days with eyewitnesses, and their lives have been completely transformed. The tragedy is we've taken that and made it religion. Because the final point is, it's our union with him. What God has always wanted. The reason he did the intervention. I mean, you don't do an intervention so that people end up in a treatment center and their message is, hey, I go to treatment centers. I go on Mondays and Wednesdays and Fridays. I go through the 12 steps. It's a great treatment center. Have you ever been to a treatment center? I love treatment centers. Let's be treatment center people. What you want them to do is have an intervention and get whole and come back and love you and be connected to you. The tragedy of our day and the reason that I opted out of Christianity as a young person, all they wanted to do was talk about their religion and telling me that I wasn't moral enough. I knew I wasn't moral enough, okay? Give me a break. God's not trying to improve your morality. God is not trying to get you to be more religious. He wants you to be in union, in relationship with him. And when that happens, life, I am crucified. So you got to die. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, Paul would say, I live. How? Christ lives inside of me. Well, how does that work? I put the verse in it. 2 Corinthians 5, verses 14 and 15. The Apostle Paul, the same one who gave us the secret, counterintuitive means to life and hope and peace, says this. The love of Christ controls us. Having concluded this, that one died for all, that one Jesus. Notice the result. Therefore, all died. Why? And he died for all so that those who live might live no longer for themselves. Do you feel the dying? It's not about you. Can you imagine living a life that it's not about you? It's not about your dreams and your goals and what you can get and who you can impress. One died, Jesus. Therefore, all died. And he died so that we can live no longer for ourselves, but for him who died and rose from the dead. Therefore, if any man or any woman is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old things pass away. Behold, everything becomes new. He wants the old you to die. And he wants to allow his spirit to enter your life and take up residence in you and make a brand new you. That little word in Christ or in him happens 200 times in the New Testament. The message of the gospel, the message of Easter isn't, this is what I grew up hearing. If your good deeds are more than your bad deeds, I guess you get in. And since we're all in denial, no matter what I did, I thought, well, it's getting kind of close, but I think I'm doing pretty good. Right? God says, let me give you, I am holy, I am pure, one single bad deed, one single thought, because I'm absolute pure in my holiness, you can't have relationship with me. I don't want you trying to get better or to prove or to perform. I want you to be connected to me, and I will do for you what you could never do for yourself. Let me give you a picture. This is just helped me so much. Imagine, if you will, this is a bolt. Got that? Imagine this bolt is you or me. And there's certain properties, there's a nature to a bolt, correct? It's made out of metal. And let's imagine that this little fish tank, I think is what we've got here, and this water is staying on top of the water is being a good person, a righteous person, a loving person, a person that cares about others, a person that's pleasing to God. Left to yourself and your power and your effort, when you try and do that, Does anybody have any predictions about where this bolt's going? Okay, let's check this out to make sure. Yep, it's down there. Well, hold it. Well, wait a second. Oh, no. Well, maybe we should paint it. Or maybe we could put a little cross on it. And maybe the bolt could go to church now and then. Or it could really try, maybe give away a little money. Do a little. You can do all kind of little things with the bolt, but okay, let's pretend it's painted and it's really pretty and it's even religious. Oops, still got a problem. Because the nature of the bolt in and of itself is powerless. Here's the intervention. The intervention is the very life of Jesus, fully man, fully God, who died. And says when he died, when a person by faith trusts in him, you died with him, you're buried with him, so you can be resurrected with him. Now, what's the nature of wood when I put it in the water? Predictions. It's the fundamental property of the wood. It will always float. Now, get this. This is the gospel. This is the good news. The good news is not that you can try hard, become religious, read the Bible, go on a missions trip, give some money, and try and earn your way to God. The gospel is none of that can ever work. But by faith, you can turn from your sin and you can be united with him. See this rubber band, this blue one here? It's faith. It's that moment in specific space-time history when you hear and understand that God in the person of Jesus Christ died for your sin, rose from the dead, and offers you new life free of charge that you could never do. And you turn from your sin and you say, I can't live this life, but I want to be connected to you. And you said, whoever believes in you could be connected to you. I want to be in union with you. See, the scripture says very clearly, he that has the Son has life. He that does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things I've written to you, the Apostle John would say, that you might know that you have eternal life. And so when you have relationship with him, all the properties now and what's true of Christ becomes true of you. When you turn from your sin, ask Christ to come into your life, you're atoned or forgiven. The Spirit of God enters your life. He begins to form the life of Christ in you. He seals you with the Spirit. He takes you from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. He breaks the power of sin. Death forever never can reign over you again. The moment you die, you will be ushered into the very presence of God forever and ever. But you are crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, look, you're living. But it's not you, it's Christ in you. That's the message and the offer. And so, the question I have for you is, do you have the Son? Do you have the Son of God living in you? If you do, you have eternal life. If you do not, you do not have life. Notice, I didn't say, do you go to church? I didn't say, are you moral? I didn't say, did you read the Bible? I didn't say, if you give to the United Way. All those things may be very, very good. But none of them have the power to give you eternal life. And just like when you make a major union with another person, it's not just for a certain day or a point in time, it's for a new life. There's a new path. It's not about coming to some service and realizing, oh, I need to be united with Christ. Oh, Father, please forgive me, and then go off and live the same way. No. I died to my old way of life. And I said to a cute little blonde-haired girl, I would like to be united with you all the rest of my days and be on a new path with you. I did not say, honey, I want you to know for this day that I'm giving up my old girlfriends. And I want to be married to you and be united to you. And thank you. I'm glad we're married. Now I think I'm going to go kind of do. She would have not been happy with that. Nor me, her doing that. What I committed to was a new life that gave me new power to be on a new path. And that's our final question. What's the path? What's the counterintuitive path that brings life and hope and peace? And it's summarized in Romans chapter 12, the first two verses. The same author, he says, I urge you therefore, my brethren, or brothers and sisters is the idea, in light of God's mercy, in other words, in light of what he's done for you, here's the path that you're on so that you receive life, and you're going to get right back to St. Francis. offer your body or present your body as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, then get the last line. This is your spiritual service of worship. Translation, this is what God really wants. Once you turn from your sin and receive the gift on a certain day at a certain time, are you ready for this? You gotta die. The reason there's so many Christians who say, I love God, and they prayed a prayer and done this and done that, and they live their own life and their lives don't resemble Christ, they never died. You gotta die. You gotta say, God, not my will, but yours. Jesus died before he could be resurrected. In nature, if it doesn't die, it doesn't produce fruit. Unless a grain of wheat fall into the earth and die, it remains by itself alone. If it dies, it brings forth much fruit. Are you ready to die? You know what, God may be very gracious, but are you ready to die to some things that you think will make your life work? See, any person or anything that your life revolves around, you know what that's called? That you orbit around, that holds you up? That's what you worship. Some people, they worship their job. Some people worship their mate. Some people worship the fantasy of the success, the win-win syndrome. When I get the big job, when I get the house on the hill, when we get the kitchen remodeled, when we finally have children, when I finally get married, when I finally make a lot of money, you know, if I keep working out, if I can look like this, then. And we spend our whole days answering emails and responding to voicemails. Oh, this busy, go, 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 go. For what? So I can own, control, pose, pretend, and try and in my own energy be good enough to get people to love me. And all the while, the one who came to do the intervention is standing back, Jesus, saying, I've watched this movie a lot of times. There's not a happy ending coming. There's not a happy ending in this life, and there's a tragic ending in the next. Will you allow me to forgive you and do for you what you can never do for yourself? And will you allow me to come into your life? And after I do, would you slide over and let me drive? And I will tell you this, if I loved you enough to die for you, where I'm gonna drive this car is better than you could ever dream. The roads will not always be smooth, and they will not take the turns that you always like. But if you'll listen to what I have to say, you'll do some counterintuitive things like give and you'll receive. You'll love in your marriage and forgive even when it doesn't come back, and this bizarre thing happens. You get love back. You'll live the kind of life that your kids will say, wow, that's the kind of person, that's the kind of dad, that's the kind of mom I want to be. Guess what? You can't do this. Christ in you is the hope of glory. Would you like to have eternal life beginning today? If so, I'd like to lead you in a prayer. And for some, let me tell you, I know, today is the day, the Bible says, of salvation. You may not be ready, you know what? But I don't know when your next window's coming. An intervention occurred. Option A, I will remain in denial. I'm doing okay, everything's okay, I don't have a problem. Option B, I'm sick and tired of living the way I am. And I need life, and I need hope, and I need peace that I can't get for myself. And I'm going to die to my way, and I'm going to ask God to come into my life so I can follow him. Those are your options. So let me ask you today, on this Good Friday, which road will you take? Option A or option B? You know, we all face these windows of spiritual decision. It's not an accident that you're hearing my voice right now. The God of the universe made you, created you, loves you. He sent his son to die in your place for your sin. He rose from the dead. It's historical, it's factual, it's true. But all that has got to move from your head to your heart, and today is the day, is what the Bible says, of salvation. So what will you do? Will you receive his offer? And if so, do it right now with me. In our church, I prayed a prayer with a number of people whose entire eternity changed because their trust shifted from themselves to Christ. And that's what you need to do. Right now, you can pray, if this is the desire of your heart, "Dear God, I admit today before you that I fall short, that I've sinned, that I'm not the man, the woman, the parent, the person that I know I need to be. I want to ask you right now to forgive me for all of my sins. I ask you to come into my life right now, and I believe and trust that your Son, the Lord Jesus, died to pay for my sin. I believe he rose from the dead to give me eternal life. Please make me your son. Make me your daughter. I trust you right now in Jesus' name. And Father, thank you for your forgiveness. Grant me power and strength to walk with you all the days of my life." If you just prayed that with me, you can go to our website and there's a portion there where you can click for new believers where we can give you some help. And secondly, tell someone today what you've done. The person you think is the greatest Christian that you know, tell them, "I pray to receive Christ today." And then this Easter weekend, find a good Bible-teaching church and celebrate your new life.
If you prayed with Chip, I hope you'll take a minute and call us at 888-333-6003. We'd love to talk with you and get a free resource in your hands that'll help you understand what you just did and where to go from here. If you'd rather, go to the New Believers tab on our website, livingontheedge.org, or tap Special Offers on the app where you'll find that same resource. We just want to help you get started on your new journey of faith. Chip's talk today is "You Gotta Die, the Counterintuitive Path to Life, Hope, and Peace." You know, the significance of Easter is oftentimes lost in the commercial obscurity of new clothes, baskets, and bunnies, and special treats. But the reality of Jesus' resurrection confounds those distractions. If he really did rise from the dead, we have sobering reasons to grapple with the implications for us personally and for those we love. To hear this message again, just go to livingontheedge.org. Listen online or download the MP3, which is always free. For additional help or more information, just give us a call at 888-333-6003. That's 888-333-6003. Chip, we have a brand new resource designed to help people get into Scripture and process the kinds of things you shared in your teaching. It's a journal, but I think the idea of journaling means different things to different people. So what's your approach to journaling?
Dave, it's interesting that you would say that because I think this is something we need to clear up about journaling or not journaling. My wife uses her journal completely different than me.
Okay.
And so her journal is primarily writing down specific prayer requests. It's very brief and it's very focused. Mine is there's lots of words. This is what I'm thinking. This is what I'm feeling. Here's five concerns that have come to my mind that I'm distracted by. And I write each of those down and turn it to a prayer list. My point is this. Journals are a tool. It doesn't make you spiritual to write in a journal. They need to be a unique tool to help you connect with God. So it's used in a way by way of our personality and what God is doing in our life. But what I do know, whether you write a little or a lot, whether it's more of just a prayer journal or whether it's a life journal, is there something to be said for using a tool that is tracking your journey with Christ. And I believe that that is really the role of a journal. And so if even for those who've never kept a journal, I would encourage you, give it a try. And don't feel like you have to write every single day, but begin a rhythm or a track record. Maybe it's two or three times a week, or you do it when you're compelled, or it becomes your prayer journal. But we're just encouraging people. We want you to be connected to God, and you just can't say a little prayer and read a little something fast and expect to have a deep, powerful, abiding relationship with Jesus Christ. Our heart's desire is to help you to be connected deeply with the living God, and we believe this journal could be one small part of that journey for you.
Really helpful. Thanks, Chip. Well, it's easy to be excited about our new prayer journal. Chip's given you a few of his journaling tips inside the cover. And while there are a few scriptures and quotes here and there, there's plenty of room for you to write out passages or prayers or just whatever's on your heart between you and God. They come in a couple of different colors with embossed gold or silver trimmings, and the whole thing is beautifully finished and bound. For a limited time, these new prayer journals are discounted, so I hope you'll check them out today. You'll find all the details at livingontheedge.org. App listeners, just tap special offers. For more information, give us a call at 888-333-6003. That's 888-333-6003. Well, that wraps us up for this program. From all of us here at Living on the Edge, this is Dave Drewy, wishing you a very happy Easter and saying thanks for listening to this edition of Living on the Edge.